You may have spent some time lately watching or listening to the Democratic political debates, or at least to the news coverage about them. And maybe that's got you wondering about political polls. How useful are they? And what can we really learn from them? Our contributing editor, Neil Milner, is here with some thoughts about how to read those polls like a pro. Help us out, Neil.
Okay, I'll help you out. Well, let's start with the polls that you're starting to see right now, particularly about the Democratic candidates and who people approve and at what percentage. The ones that are effective may be the surprising ones, and the ones that's not effective that you don't have to pay attention to, you might think would be the least surprising one. The ones that turn out to be a fairly good predictor are the polls that just simply say what percentage of the people support these particular candidates. And over time, over a series of primaries starting back in the 70s, the studies show that they're not bad predictors of who will ultimately get the nomination. If 6 months before you get nominated, the nominating conventions, you have 35% support or more, 75% of those people get the nomination for presidency. In other words, if you're going along at 35%, it's pretty likely that you'll get the nomination, twice as likely as the next category down. Now,
and that's 6 months ahead. So that's
6 months ahead. Yeah,
January, February next year.
Well, that's right. So we got two limitations right now. One limitation, of course, is that it's not 6 months ahead, and so the polls show that nobody right now is at 35. Joe Biden tends to be around the low 30s and stable, but it gives you an idea of what to watch for. And you always have to remember, one of the caveats here is that people's preferences in primaries are very fluid because they don't know the candidates very well, and because the main cue that people look for, what party is that person in, that doesn't work here because they're all Democrats or they're all Republicans. So, but even so, you get some usefulness of following the polls. The ones that don't, that are really inaccurate, are these polls that are done 6 months to a year before, these hypothetical polls between the likely Republican nominee and the likely Democrat nominee. So if you did a poll a year from now and it was Trump versus, I don't know, you pick your own candidate, they tend not to be very accurate. So in terms of the polls generally right now, what you can pay attention to and what you should sort of pass off, I'm talking a little bit of the future, but those seem to be the things.
Interesting. Also, the nature of polling itself, I mean, just so many questions and variations about that. But part of this also of the idea of questions that are asked in a similar phrasing over a period of time, and those being of more use than other types of polls.
Yeah, I mean, there are two rules of thumb to remember here. This is without looking at polling methodology in any kind of complicated way. The more you have a measure over time of the same question, the more useful the poll is. And the more polls you look at, the more useful the poll is. For example, 538.com does a composite of Trump approval and disapproval ratings. So they're taking about, I don't know, what, 20 polls, regularly looking at them, and they average out. And that tends to be a more reliable way of looking at things. Also, as I say, looking at trends, particularly about issues, not so much about candidates, polls are pretty good. It's a trend analysis. It goes over time. The one thing to add to this is that if you're looking at a particular issue and you want to look at some polls, the best thing to do is to look at how that polling organization, that specific polling organization, has dealt with it over time, because polls differ in terms of their methodological biases, in terms of how they ask the question. It's called the house effect. And we understand what some of these house effects are. And except for bogus polls, they're not purposely Democratic or Republican. So if you want to follow, I don't know, if you want to follow Harris polling or YouGov or anything else like that, the best thing to follow an issue, look at how that issue is over time. And the other thing to do is there is almost no watersheds in politics. That is, a poll may show something that's a big jump And it's probably just temporary. It's probably just an outlier. That's a hard one because the media has a here and now push toward change kind of emphasis. That's not ideological. It's just you're reporting the day's news. You tend to emphasize what happens that day. But for the most part, these are kind of gradual slogs.
But that idea of sort of reaching for the headline or saying, yeah, oh my gosh, the polls have changed, the polls have shifted, that's number one, a temptation. But it's also, as you say, in terms of the context of other polling information over time and sets of polls taken together,
right,
are an important measure to look at.
That's right. That's why it mitigates some of this. If you I mean, here's a good example right now. We always look at the bounce that people get after, let's say, they're nominated for president, right, or after a particular debate. And there often is a bounce. But the bounce typically doesn't last because lots of things happen. More debates, the world changes, there are other candidates that come in. And one of the ways to deal with that is to always be skeptical about any kind of big change. That doesn't mean it's not likely. That doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not likely. So whoever gets the bounce out of the last two debates, it's something that will probably flatten out.
And the integrity of different kinds of polls, I mean, there's a lot more than there used to be in terms of opt-in, tell us what you think, or, you know, cast your ballot in support of this or that. But that's in terms of scientific usefulness. Those are not really particularly helpful.
I think there's two issues here. One is, let's call it methodological, and the other is called political. The methodological things that you should pay attention to is that some polling, there are different ways of polling, and the differences are not necessarily showing illegitimacy on some side. But as 538.com says, there's a certain gold standard that you look for. One thing is that the polls are done by real people over the phone as opposed to robocalls.
Oh, yes.
The second thing is that landlines and cell phones are included in it, and that's begun to happen. The third, and this is trickier, is that there's a kind of transparency that the public polling organizations, professional organizations, have standards of transparency. One of the standards is show your data, show how you got that kind of stuff. That's the issue there that you can pay attention to. And people ought to pay attention to that. And the data is generally available in a poll. The political stuff, of course, and there are different ways of polling that are not bad, that are not necessarily the gold standard. The opt-in poll, where essentially you volunteer to be polled and they have models that they can use to make it representative, that's getting into the weeds. But they definitely aren't there. The political thing, of course, is that people do all kinds of BS with polls, including, of course, the candidates.
Sure.
And so my rule of thumb is anything a candidate says about his or her poll that you can't actually see on paper and see how it was done, I don't pay any attention to it, and I would advise people not to. But, you know, there are push polls. There are polls that are used to ask loaded questions, and you just have to be very careful and skeptical. If you're participating in a poll and you find the questions a little weird, you probably don't want to pay attention to it. The hard thing is confirmation bias. If these questions, if these suspicions, you're less likely to be suspicious of people who tend to say things that you want to be, you want to say. And that's a whole nother dimension here.
Interesting. Watch for confirmation bias as always, and look, as always, for transparency.
Yes, for sure.
All right, Neil.
Including Milner. In yourself.
Yes, starting with that.
Yes.
Always. Yes. Political analyst, social scientist Neil Milner, contributing editor of our biweekly segment, Longview. Thanks, Neil.
Sure.